I want to talk to you this morning about the joy of faith. You know, my wife ministered something about joy last few times. And so and the Lord been speaking to me about this. I was going another direction, but I just didn't seem right when I was what I was going to teach, but the Lord brought this to my attention again. So I want to talk to you about mourning into joy. Mourning into joy. Weeping, the Bible says, is only for a nighttime. But joy comes in the morning. So mourning into joy. This is how God works things. And this is his way. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. Well, that means celebrating. Send portions unto them that have nothing that is prepared. You know, God knows everything, and he wants people to think about, God wants them to think about those people that don't have anything. Maybe that's you this morning. I don't know if you got all your needs met, but somebody here is going to be able to minister to somebody. Amen? Maybe you're going to take somebody out today. Anybody going to take anybody out today? Maybe. For this is the holy day unto the Lord. Need it be your sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we're taking that latter section of that verse of scripture. Says, neither be sorry, ye be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We'll talk about this in a minute and explain this a little bit more. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, in whom you having seen, not seen, you love, and in whom though you now see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. These two books are about learning to have joy in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficult circumstances. You know, Nehemiah, you know, God called him to rebuild the wall. Is this better? Huh? I'm talking to her because she has a little bit difficulty hearing. But the Lord's healing her right now. Amen. Amen. So you know, Nehemiah was told to rebuild the wall. And this was after they came back from captivity. They were in captivity. And they came back. And they were having meetings and under the leadership of Nehemiah. He was a strong character, showed the strength of God. And he was the one that God called to minister to these people. And he brought them all together and he read the scriptures. And these people here, Nehemiah, begin to remember, to recall how far they've gone away from God. They got off in the way and they went into captivity and they started to cry. They started to feel bad. You know, don't you feel bad when something happens and you've done things on the inside and you mourn? And, you know, I believe there's people here that have gone through a lot of situations in their lives where they're still mourning for the past mistakes. Maybe your marriage, or you were married, or a relationship you had, or a business that you had, and you messed it up, or you messed different things up. A job you had, you could have had. Maybe you had a career, and you were going on doing well, and all of a sudden now you're back, you know, back to square one, just like snakes and ladders. Remember that? You were doing good until you went back down. And so... So they're having a hard time and they're mourning about it, having a hard time, crying about things. But this particular time, they were celebrating. God wanted them to put that behind them, put the past behind. This is beginning new. God doesn't remember your sins. And he wants to heal you. You know, I'm thinking about all the scriptures that I've learned over the years. And we have these new gurus in the world today that tells people, you know, you got to go through all these counseling sessions and over the years and rehash all these things and so on. I don't, you know, if you want counseling, fine, good. But there's God has a way to heal you. And he can heal you. You know, they said trauma affects your mind and somehow any emotions just passed on from your parents. And your parents, when you're a little child, you know, that somehow, before you even were born, that somehow it comes to you. Well, that doesn't sound very good. But God knows how to heal you. I can tell you, I was healed from trauma. I had lots of trauma in my life. Much things that happened to me as a kid. And I went through a whole pile of stuff as a little child with different kinds of things in my home and left alone for days and weeks and didn't have parenthood, you know. Put in homes, wooden boarding schools, training schools, beaten. Didn't eat. Went to school without food. I mean, I could tell about a lot of things. I'm not telling you I'm sad. I'm glad I've gone through it. I can tell you about it. I feel good about it. If I wasn't feeling good about it, I wouldn't tell you about it. But, you know, God doesn't want me to mourn or you to mourn about your past. Yes, you went through abuse. Yes, you had some sexual abuse. Yes, you had somebody leave you. Somebody turned their back on you. My wife and I went through a lot of stuff in ministry where people turned their back on us. Right to our face. And we gave up our lives, and you know, we gave up our lives to come into this ministry and build this ministry on nothing. No one gave us any money. No one told us you have to do it. No one told us we want to support you. So we came in the ministry and did that. Left our careers. Didn't have anybody. And I think about this, and I appreciate this lady in the front row here. She'd been with us from day one. Some other people have been here for just as long. She said to me, "Pastor, I want to pray for you." I said, "No, don't pray for me." She said, "No, I'm going to pray for you." I said, "No, you know." For whatever reason. But I thank God for you. You know, the very first Christmas I came back, my wife and I came, we had no money. And we just finished school. I just finished my master's degree, and I was going into my PhD program. And my wife and I, we sat down in our living room and said, God called us. We're going to do this. We left our careers and came to this city to pioneer a work and to do apostle-type work, ministry, to start things, to start anew, to start a fresh thing in this city. And so we left our careers, and, you know, during that time, I saw all my friends who were getting good jobs and having, you know, nice houses and traveling different places. And I said, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done that, you know. I could have had a good bank account and good, at the end of my life, I'll have a nice paycheck at the end. But we did it. And I remember when the people turned their back on us and how hurt we were and the pain that we went through, had to endure. A number of times we had people who joined us and they were just wonderful. They'd wash our feet and whatever, they'd help us, but then turn their backs. Just when we needed them the most. I could have wrote a lot of good songs. You know, you left me when I needed you the most. And I had to, you know, when we went to Rhema, my wife cried almost every day because she was healing up, and she, Mrs. Higgins' mom ministered to my wife and talked to her, and I said, I ain't coming back to those people. They don't deserve me. And it's not about deserving, right? It's about what God told you to do. God said, if I told you to go there, you wipe your tears and act like, you know, this is the best thing for you. And so I got my attitude straight. And so you know, you have to leave it behind. You can't go ministering to people with a lot of hurt. And I, of course, I was trained in university. When I went to university, he said to me, He said to us at school, we were doing a practical training, he said, you know what? If you have any trauma in your life as a social worker or as a counselor, you got to deal with it, because that's gonna affect you in your work. So you need to be healed. So for ministers, you need to be healed before you start ministering, because that'll come out on the, you'll be mean to people, and so on. So thank God that we can leave the past behind, talk about it like, you know, it didn't happen, but talk about it as a fact, but don't just be, you know, crying all day long and I'm going to get you, you know. And so God wants us to leave the past behind. So in the same way here, Nehemiah was telling those people, just go ahead, leave the past behind. It's time to rejoice. Amen. And be healed. Yeah. Amen? And so the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, what I want to say here this morning, if anything, joy is the strength of your life. Joy is the strength of your life. Joy speaks about what you believe that is coming your way. Amen? So you're being joyful about it. So during the time, as I mentioned, the Israelites had come back from their captivity and realized they wandered far away from the commands of the Lord. And they became sorrowful, and Nehemiah was leading them in the Lord, the things of God. And the Lord told them to tell them to stop their mourning and start celebrating by being joyful. And being sorrowful, you know, leads to weakness and leads to death and depression. And we don't want to be that. We want to be joyful in the Lord. You know, joy is a force. It's a force of God, and that it's a strength from God. Joy is the opposite of sorrow, because sorrow brings weakness. Joy brings strength in your life. Joy quickens your heart with the strength of God. Rejoicing is like tasting your future. Amen? Joy is like tasting your future. It's like a little rain, little heaven coming down on you. And so we rejoice because we experience, you know, a little bit of heaven coming. Being joyful is like medicine, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:22. He says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. You know, we need joy. And we need joy. I want to tell you something. Can I mention this? Joy has nothing to do with the conditions of your life. I'm going to say that again. Joy, the joy of the Lord, the joy that you have, has nothing to do with whether or not things are going good for you in your life. Because you can rejoice in the most difficult times of your life and receive strength. Hallelujah. Well, at least three of you agree with that. We're going to get going here. Sorrow brings death, the Bible says. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, people who just think on natural things all the time, you know, just normal everyday stuff, rather than the things of God and what God's doing, you know, it'll bring you down. You can't just think about what humans can do, what they did to you, and what happened to you in your life. If you just focus on that, you're going to go down. You got to think about what God's done for you, what Jesus has done for you. You can rejoice right now. You can take it. You can, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, you can find something to be joyful about. There's got to be one thing. You've been born again. That's a huge thing. Amen? Start rejoicing. So sorrow works death, being naturally minded, you know, spiritual minded is better. The things of God in your mind. Carnal mind focuses on bad things, natural things, circumstantial things that are against you. Spiritually minded people focuses on the good things that God has done or God is doing for you. You have a choice. Everybody say, I have a choice. Either to rejoice or to grieve and be sorrowful. You can do that. You can make a choice today. Like, I'm gonna really be grieving this week today, because this is an anniversary. My grandmother died 22 years ago. And you know, my dog died. Now, I'm not making fun of it. I'm just telling you, this is how people are. And I'm going to call my counselor again, because I'm going to go through a hard time. God doesn't want you to do that. There's some people that are crying because their grandma died a long time ago. She needed to go home. And I know you're missing her. But, you know, my mom is gone. And when she died on that bed, I said, "Mom, I'll see you on the other side." I'm glad that she didn't continue to suffer with that cancer. She suffered a long time. And when she died, I was happy about it. Not that she died, but because she stopped suffering. And I knew that she's with Jesus. That's what I had on my mind. Not the fact, I'm going to miss calling her when I'm in Vancouver, or whenever I left town, I always called my mother, no matter where I was. I went everywhere, I always called my mom. But I never called my dad. It's funny why, you know. And when my kids call home, "Where's mom?" I said, "What about me?" They don't want to talk to me. They want to talk to their mother, you know. So over here in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, Nehemiah, which is to Rashat, Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites, taught the people and said unto all the people, "The day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." You know, you could be reminded of things and you start crying and mourning and all that kind of stuff. And God doesn't want you to focus on that thing. You know, I've seen the Bible. I've read the Bible over and over many, many times, several times over the years since I've been a Christian. And I find in the Scripture things that I never saw. I'm reading things, different books. I didn't know this was in there. I read it many times, places where God told people, "Never, don't cry anymore. Stop your crying." And I never heard stuff like this before, because, you know, as a kid, as a little boy, they said, "Stop your crying, Roma. That's a different kind of thing." You know? But God doesn't want you to. He's saying, don't mourn about those mistakes. Don't be sore about those things in the past. Continue to move on. I don't want you to focus on that. Hey, listen. You know, I was listening to a brother the other day, and he's been in ministry for years. He said, "You know, and I've been in ministry for a number of years, I've seen different ministers fail. I've seen people come and go, and people die early, and I see people mess up in ministry. And it all affects us. And things that affected my life. And I had to learn, you know, not to get caught up in it. Because when you're wounded and sad every day, it's hard for you to minister to people. You can't get up and do the things that you could be doing. You could be doing more rather than mourning all day. You could be doing more for God and for yourself and for your family. You know, so Nehemiah and the priests and the Levites there told him, stop crying. It's time to stop crying. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, stop crying.
Stop
crying. Turn to another neighbor and said, "You too." Yeah. So, you know. There's a time we stop crying. Amen? Stop crying about things. You can't change the past. You can't change what people have done to you. You can't change anybody's mind. You ever notice that? You can't change if people thought something about you. You can't do anything about it. You can't change their mind. You know, I've seen God work in my life the last little while about different things. You know, people who were against me all of a sudden send me a note and tell me different things. And I pray for people. I believe me, I pray for everyone who said anything bad about me. I just say, "Lord, I just want to let you know I forgive them. I let it go. I'm not holding it against them. And I'm going to pray a prayer for all those people who said anything bad about me. I'm asking you to bless them right now in the name of Jesus." Hey, did you know people send me letters and notes and say, "You know what? Listen, I appreciate you." The Bible says that when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Okay. That's good. That's good. I didn't add that in my messenger, but I'm not going to charge you anything. It'll be extra. Praise God. So Nehemiah told them, and the men there told them to stop weeping, stop being sorrowful. It's not time to weep. It's the time for joy. In John 16:33, notice what Jesus said here. John 16:33, I'm reading the King James. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me," thank God, the being in Christ. How many of you in Christ? Okay, and you can do what he's telling you to do. "That is in me, you might have peace." Thank God. Say, "I have peace." Say, "I have unshakable peace." You know, you're like a mountain, the Bible says, the psalmist says, "I'm like the mountain that surrounds Jerusalem, and I cannot be shaken." Amen. I'm having a great time right now, praise the Lord, amen. In the world, which world are you in anyway? In the world you shall have tribulation. People say, you know, well, I better get out of here. Hope Jesus comes soon. But be of good cheer. How does it sound like? How does it sound like? How does cheer sound like? Woo, praise God. I mean, the Bible says make a joyful noise. He didn't say sound pretty and nice. He just said make a joyful noise. Anybody can do that. Amen. Let's try that one more time. Come on. Woo! Yes, sir. Okay, tonight. There's a game on tonight, isn't there? You don't want to be moaning. Yeah, wow. Ah. We want to be laughing and crying, no matter if we win or lose. This guy is going to still praise God and be happy no matter what. I'll always find another team. Right, Ernie? We're the KFC team. Right? Okay, so... But be of good cheer, he says. So Jesus said, in this world, in all the trials and all the junk that's going on around you and so on, he said, be of good cheer. Didn't Jesus say that? He did. He did say that. But somehow people said, oh, no, I got to experience this trauma. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just telling you. That sometimes we think that someone told you that. Someone told you that. But God says, okay, just give it to me. I'm gonna heal you. Amen. Okay, so let's get on here. If you believe Jesus, you won't be and you can't be sorrowful. You'll be full of joy. It's a choice you make every day. Today I'm gonna rejoice in the Lord. I mean, yet in the morning he didn't feel like rejoicing, but he said, Lord, this is the day. It was so dark Saturday, right? So dark. I said, this is the day the Lord has made. I didn't feel like it at all. But I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And then Jesus said, cheer up. He said, cheer up, even in your trials, right? Jesus said in John 14:1, notice this, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. If you have a troubled heart, it's because you let it. I'm going to say that one more time. If you have a troubled heart, your thinking is wrong, you have a bad feelings. Someone told me the other day, I got up, I had a bad dream. And this is my dream. I told my wife, I hadn't had this dream for a long time. I woke up, I thought I had, one of these mishaps. I thought I went out and I was out there using again. I woke up, oh, man, Lord, I'm sitting, I'm in bed. I'm wide awake now. I said, oh, why did I do that? Oh, man. All the feelings I had came back to me in a moment of time. But it hasn't happened in a long time, this thinking, but it came back to me, and I felt exactly what I dreamt about. It's like it was real. But the Lord said to me this. He says, anything you focus on, anything that's in your mind, you'll begin to feel like it. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. So I just said, I rebuked that dream. I'm never going to drink again. I'm never going to take drugs. I'm not going to go out and do all that stuff. No, it's my choice. Well, you know, one day at a time, they told us, right, my friend Jerry? One day at a time. Like, you only have one day at a time, one moment at a time. So I said, nope. I choose to be happy. And I reject this feeling. I don't want it. I'm not going to think about this because I'm not out there. I'm here right now to ground myself. I'm here right now. I'm looking out my window. I'm happy, sober, clean. I'm not going to jail. No one's looking for me out there. Amen? Come on, people. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I begin to get happy again. Every once in a while, you got to remind yourself about these things. So let not your heart be troubled. Let's go over here in verse 26, John 14, 26. He says, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give it." The world can give you some kind of peace, but it doesn't last, right? Not as the world give it. I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. He said it again in verse 26. Don't let your heart be troubled. If you're sad, it's because you let it. If you're grieving every day, it's because you allow yourself to grieve. Yes, you had that experience. Yes, you did go through a hard trial. But you don't have to stay there. You don't have to live there every day. So God says, remember, you need to remember the things, recall the things that God has done for you in your life. Psalm 103 says, wonderful things God has done for you in your life. You can think about a lot of things. So how to keep a joyful mind? How do you keep a joyful mind in your heart? The question that, we ask ourselves, so how do I keep a joyful spirit? If I've had a tendency to be in the rut, so to speak, if I'm in the gutter and I'm always going through a trial. There's a guy called Terry Trial. Remember that guy called Terry Trial? Brother Moore always talked about Terry Trial and Vic Victory. I like Vic Victory better. Amen. He's always on the victory side. And I remember in Bible school, Brother Moore used to tell us, he says, how many of you got the victory this morning? How many of you got the victory this morning? Woo! Amen. You got the victory? Yeah, you got every one of you got the victory in the Lord. Praise God. Anybody just really wishing to go through a trial again? No, you're not willing to go through a trial. So, you'll be the way you focus your life, the way you think in life, is really crucial. There's bad all around you, and you can think about all kinds of bad. It doesn't even have to be around you. You can just start thinking about it. But you don't have to let it in your heart again. You don't have to let those things in your mind. You can just reject it. The Bible says, you can rebuke those thoughts, and you can say, I'm not thinking about that. I'm focused on the good. I decide to think. We always say this. Everybody say this. My mind is my mind. See, I can feel any way I want to feel. So it's up to you. It's up to you how to. You say, well, how do you feel today? I remember Wigglesworth, somebody asked him, how do you feel today? How do you feel today? And Brother Wigglesworth, he says, I tell myself how to feel. Right? I tell myself how to feel. I don't ask myself. Hey, Roma, how do you feel? I had this experience that I told my wife, I'm walking up the stairs. I had this experience in me that I saw my body. I noticed my body was going upstairs. It wasn't me. The Lord said to me, that's your body. The real you is on the inside. I had that experience, and the Lord said to me, your body will have all kinds of sensations. Your body will have different kinds of impulses, desires. Your body wants to eat cake at 12 o'clock at midnight. Whatever. You just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I always laugh at this because I usually send some of my closer buddies on my Facebook. I send them funny memes. They don't find it funny, but I do. Something like 10 of them at a time. So anybody ever do that? You're sending those all the time, and not everybody responds to them, right? But I know some of them do. And some of them never even respond one time. But I don't know, But anyway, you don't have to let things in your mind. And you don't have to feel whatever you're feeling. If a bad feeling comes up, ask yourself, what have you been focusing on? I notice that when I get up in the morning, if I ever feel bad, there's hardly ever time I wake up feeling bad. And I realize if I do feel bad, it's because what I focused on the next day. And I would say 99% of the time I never get that way, but I do once in a while get up in a funny way because maybe my dream or something happened to me. I try to deal with my life every day, 24 hours a day. Try not to hurt anybody or kill anybody on the way home. So you have to be able to take care of yourself. Take care of your emotions. And so you can rejoice anytime you want. According to Nehemiah. You can rejoice anytime you want. You can be joyful anytime. It has nothing to do with your external life outside your body. It doesn't has nothing to do with what's going on in your community or in your family. You can rejoice anytime you want to. And you could have the closest people around you suffering, but you still can rejoice. According to Jesus, according to Paul, you can rejoice anytime you want to. And it'll give you strength to go over every trial and everything that comes against you. Let's look at Paul. You know, Paul says the different things. He talks about the outward man and the inward man over in the, I'm not going to read the whole chapter or the whole piece that I wanted to read to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, verse 17, for our light affliction is but for a moment. Work it for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen. See, the things you suffer can only last for a moment depending on what you're looking at. You know, the trials, you know, he went through a lot of trials, this man. But it's up to you how long you want to experience that. You can tell yourself, listen, I've suffered long enough. These memories have hurt me. I have been ineffective with my family. I notice that sometimes people who are affected emotionally, they're impacted by different things. People turn on them. Maybe their wife walks on them. Maybe their family's left them. Maybe they've been an outcast. I notice that these people become ineffective in their lives. They can't love anymore. They can't do anything. They can't function anymore properly. Because they let that fester in them. There's some people that are not in church today, in this church, because they allowed someone to hurt them. The memory of whatever it is, hurting them. No, you can be in the same room with someone. I mean, it's not easy. That turned their back on you. Getting kind of quiet in here when you talk about that, but it's true. You know, so you can do that. So, the Bible talks about 2 Corinthians 7, 8. He says, now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowful, your sorrow to repentance. You know, we need to have this kind of a sorrow that hurts us. Only we can grieve to the point that it changes our lives. And say, you know what? I hurt God. I hurt other people. I'm going to repent and change. And you don't have to wallow in that forever. You know, you could come up here and repent and go out to, you know, on the altar and cry and fine and leave it there then. But you don't have to do that again and again and again. So there's better things ahead. Jeremiah, in telling the people of Israel, he says in the New Living, Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That sounds like a good promise. Amen. We need to read those scriptures and say, you know what, I have better days ahead. Amen. Besides, Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more into a perfect day. In other words, the more we walk with God, the better it gets. The more you walk with God. I'm not saying, you know, you go back and forth, but if you walk with God consistently, you'll find things that get better and better as you go walk with Him. You know, Jesus, you know, the Bible says, what about Jesus? You know, he was a man of sorrows. But that's not the way he lived every day. He was like that only for a few hours. He was like that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was like that on the cross. He suffered. But he didn't have that every day. He didn't walk around, mope around with his disciples and said, you know what, I'm feeling bad today. You know, I'm going to tell my dad, why did they send me here in the first place? You guys are all dummies. Can't learn anything. No, he was a good man, right? Little children came to him. Like, if you're a bad guy, little children's not going to come to you. Even your dog won't come to you, right? So we need to understand Jesus was a very nice man, and he loved people. And, you know, the Bible says he suffered. And he went to the cross knowing that he's going to suffer. He's going to die and go down and leave. His spirit is going to go down. And the Bible doesn't talk about every detail about what happened there. Some things remain a mystery, and one day we'll know everything. But we know that the Bible said he went down. And he preached to those that was in prison. He took those people up to heaven. Even that person that he went down with there, that thief on the cross, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Right. So he took him, right? So in Hebrews chapter 12, it says there, wherefore, seeing you're also compassed about with great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. See, some of you need to lose weight. And sin, but does easily beset us, but let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. You know, it's hard for a heavy guy to run a long race. I mean, if you look at it, but in the sense there, he says, everybody that you're carrying stuff, you should drop it off. You can run your race with God with a bunch of junk in your mind and heart. You can't serve God all sorrowful and all, you know, just having a hard time, just dragging yourself around and trying to minister to somebody and say, now come to church. By the way, do you have 25 cents? You know what? God wants us to, you know, we want to be attractive to people, a people of victory, right? Let us run with patience. You got to have that endurance to stand strong for a long time. And not give up when you're walking with God. It says in here that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we have an example how to run this race. Who for the joy, everybody say joy, that was set before him endured the cross. Now you can endure things when you know that things are going to get better. You rejoice not that things are bad, but you know that's going to get better because there's better days ahead. So that's why you can rejoice. That's why you can thank God. I'm not going to always be here. Things are going to change. Nothing is forever. Right? He endured the cross, despising his shame, that it sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your mind. So you faint in your mind, you quit because you're thinking on the wrong thing. You gotta be joyful because something good's gonna happen, something better is gonna happen. God has a better thing for you. Yes, you failed, yes, you made a mistake, but don't wallow in there and don't stay there. Go move on ahead. It doesn't have to last forever. I know I went through a lot of stuff, and I want to tell you that you don't have to suffer. I'm gonna tell you something. I've been healed. I was healed from trauma. I used to wake up, how bad it was, I used to wake up with sweats every night, wake up with sweats, sweating away, thinking about all the bad things that had happened to me, scared, anxiety attacks, everywhere. At school, all of a sudden, I just get a bad anxiety attack. I don't know why I'm scared. I don't know. I don't have any answers for it. I was just get scared and just panic, and my body was going through some kind of thing, and after I leave, I couldn't breathe. And that happened for years. But I didn't have no gospel. I didn't have the word of God. And I wake up in the middle of the night this way for years and years. And the devil tried to bring it back to me twice. He asked my wife about it. One time at Rhema, I had the same thing happen to me. At Rhema, the holy Rhema of God. Bible school students. Call the ambulance. And the other time I was at a conference. My wife and I were at a conference in Winnipeg. This is before Rhema. I had an anxiety attack so bad, I thought I was going to die. When you're in that, you think you're going to die. And the devil just had a great time on me, like looking at me, look at that guy. And the devil likes to see you in that way. But I got through it. I'm healed. I'll never have an anxiety attack again, never. Never have one. I made up my mind to be joyful. Not just when it happens, but I'm going to be joyful every day. I'll practice joy every day. I'm going to thank God every day. There's a better day ahead. And I know when I'm getting emotionally affected by different things in my life, I've got through a lot of stuff over the last few months, last couple of years, going through a lot of things, but I don't focus, I don't bring it to my team every day and cry, don't let me tell you what's going on with me. It's hard to get in the ministry, hard to go on. Please. And just cry and cry and cry. You know, what kind of leader would that be? You know, how are we going to pay our bills? Different things. People are against me. People are saying, you know, we want more partners. We can't get them. And you know, cry on the TV and say, we're going to close down if you don't give. Well, then close down. Right? Shut it down. Shut our ministry down. You know, think about it. You know, God's been good to us. I didn't even own, like Brother Higgins said, I didn't even own a stick horse. Couldn't buy a stick horse. And we got all this property here. You know, we bought this property for $600,000. Put another over half a million easily. Maybe more than half a million. Maybe, you know, way over. And we paid it off. Woo! Paid off everything. And the thing about it, they reassessed it. It's like this $600,000 investment turned into over $5 million. They said, oh, you got a lot of money. I'm not going to give none. Well, listen, we still have to be around here. We're going to be building. He said, you mean to say you're building? Well, yeah. I mean, there's things that are going to happen. There's a lot of people that's coming here from all over the world. Amen. The Lord showed me in 1992. It gave me a vision that people are coming all over the world here. We're getting ready for a Bible school. You said, you know, why are you doing all this? Because we have vision. Vision. I'm not going to follow you because you don't have a vision. Right? So thank God for it. I mean, everybody, you know, we do things and you can't tell everybody your plans because they get scared, right? You can't tell people everything, you know. And so some people get jealous. So you don't say everything all the time. You just only tell people that matter to you. Praise God. Amen? So, you know, we're gonna rejoice. You know, over here in, let's go here, Psalm 30. Go to Psalm 30 and verse 11. We could read the whole psalm, but verse 11, it says, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Some of you ought to take off your sackcloth. I said, some of you ought to take your sackcloth off now. It's okay. And put on the garment of praise. How many of you could put on a garment of praise? Amen. So sackcloth, you know, people, they did that for mourning purposes, right? But yeah, we don't want your dirty old sackcloth in here. We want some nice clothes, people with nice clothes, amen? Well, God does that. He turns it around. You know, if I just said to you, oh, let me tell you how hard it is to live a Christian life. I hardly made it here this morning. You can never tell what the devil's doing. Amen. He sent a wolf out my back door this morning. bears were at my garbage cans again. And I mean, he's got every bad story you can imagine. Right? And there's some folks that talk about that, I mean, sure, we have trouble. We all have trouble. But, the Bible tells us to rejoice no matter what happens. Right? So, there's a story there in 1 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 1, as I close here. I can't finish this whole thing. I'll come back another time. There's a story about a young girl by the name of Hannah, a young lady. And she's married to Elkanah. How many of you remember Elkanah? It sounds like Ed's uncle, Elkanah. He lived across the way down there by Poplar Point. He said, let's go visit Elkanah, he tells me. We're going to go by the... His dad used to take us across the lake. His name is Sinclair. We took a motorboat right across to see Elkanah. That's not his name. It's his name, Elkanah. But anyway, we went to see him. But Elkanah married these two, these girls. And they were... He loved this young lady, and she couldn't have children. And so she was crying all the time, every year. And they go up to worship God. And the other woman, he had another woman, and she would trash talk her, that she couldn't have children, and she would cry and cry and cry. And they were drinking and having a good time. They were drinking wine, it says in that scripture, and having a feast during that time. It was a feast time. And Hannah kept crying at the altar and all that stuff, and she was just putting her heart out to the Lord, and the prophet said to her, Hannah, listen, stop your drinking. He said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just mourning. I'm mourning because my complaint to the Lord that I want children. And I'm going to stop here for a second. I had a story here. I tell this all the time, every once in a while, about one time I said the gifts of the Spirit were flowing. I said, there's somebody here this morning in this service that God wants to heal you. You can't bear children, but God wants to have you to have a child. So who is that person? And everybody was quiet. And so up comes an 80-year-old woman, just jumps up in her chair, just walking down the aisle. I'm thinking to myself, in my mind, so what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this? Lord, I should have called out headaches or something. Or I don't know. And she comes walking up. It's a kind of funny thing. But anyway, she did have two kids. No, I'm just kidding. No, it didn't happen. But anyway, so this Hannah's crying. And the prophet said to her, go, and as you have asked the Lord, it shall be done to you. This time next year, you have a child. And the Bible says she stopped. She stopped. She heard the word of the Lord from the prophet. And the Bible says she stopped mourning and began to rejoice. The Bible says she mourned no more. You find that in 1 Samuel. She mourned no more. But listen, she didn't have a child in her hand. She wasn't pregnant. She hadn't met her husband yet. But she believed the word. And you can do that this morning by faith. And say, I'm not mourning anymore. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He changes your mourning into joy. The word of the Lord is a good word, is it? And whatever God said he'd do, he'll do. Thank you, Father, this morning that we won't mourn anymore. We're not here to mourn, we're here to rejoice. Think of all the things that God has done in your life. Think of all the things you have a choice right now. You got a choice right now, either to continue on the way you've been going. It hasn't really changed anything much. Maybe nothing. Maybe it made you go backwards. You got a choice to continue mourning, feeling bad, weeping about it. God is telling you to stop your crying right now. And start rejoicing. Start thanking God. Start blessing God that better days are coming. Hallelujah. Say, thank God. I mourn no more. No more mourning. No more weeping. No more crying. No more loss. No more dying. Thank God I can rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord said to me that I stopped praying for the sick a number of years ago when I was over at the other end. And I had a hard time praying for folks because I called out a healing, and this one lady, she had cancer, and she came forward and the Lord healed her. And then she later died. And I blamed myself for that. I said, why did I, maybe, Lord, I shouldn't have called that out. Maybe it was something wrong. The Lord began to show me what happened to me, what happened to that person. You know, you have to maintain your healing. And there's people over the years have gotten healed and it's come back on them because they never been taught to resist those symptoms or those thoughts of sickness coming back to them. And it's a fight of faith every day. In the name of Jesus. So I said, Lord, I'm gonna start praying for the sick again. I'm gonna minister the way in boldness in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm gonna pray the anointing of God is gonna flow. In the name of Jesus, amen? The power of God is going to manifest in a real way, in a strong way. All more, no more. Amen? Glory to God. Grab your partner's hand and start dancing. No, I'm just kidding.